Let us pray.
God, we are so grateful that you are a God who has given us so many senses and ways of experiencing and knowing the presence of your Son in our lives. Whether that be the warmth of sun rays or the warmth of conversations shared in love with others. So may your Spirit be with us as we prayerfully discern ways to engage as your people in this year. Amen. So I'm assuming a couple of us are probably familiar with the call stories from the other Gospels. And you might have noticed that John has something like missing that like all of the other Gospels have happening. Did anybody notice it? Oh. There's no fishers of men. Yeah, so because like all of the other times he like catches them in the middle of fishing and like says like drop your nets and I'll make you fishers of men. And it's like that's in a couple other, I think at least two of the other three Gospels. It is a different order. Pretty much every Gospel is a different order. So John's weird. John is kind of like the fourth Gospel because the other three are considered the synoptic Gospels because they definitely shared notes for their open book test, right? They wrote very similar essays. They had similar sources and inspirations as they were writing it. And John is just like doing his own thing and is written after the other three. So John knew the other three existed and John was intentionally trying to tell a story in a different way. So whenever John like completely erases something, it makes me like wonder, like, why did he do that? Now, considering this is the town of Bethsaida, and so it's near the Sea of Galilee, they're most likely fishermen still. Like, it's not, he's not saying they aren't fishermen. He's just trying to tell a different story. And I think his does a really good job of reminding us of the beautiful diversity that are our individual call stories. Like, if I were to ask people in the room, like, why you ended up just at Arnolia, we have different stories. Some might have been like, I saw the sign and that seemed good enough. Others like, you know, I was looking for a Methodist church and I was living right around the corner, so this was the first one I popped my head into and the people were pretty nice. And John's gospel reminds us that all of the different reasons that we follow Jesus or end up in a particular place in a particular season is good. So first, two disciples of John the Baptist, which is not the same. So in Bible study, we talk about John the author and John the Baptist because the Gospel of John is not written by John the Baptist. If you haven't read the Gospel of John yet, there's a very clear reason why John the Baptist doesn't write the Gospel of John, but I don't want to get to too many spoilers. But at this point, we've got John the author talking about two disciples of John the Baptist who are told by John the Baptist to go and check out Jesus. They're curious about Jesus, and they see that John is claiming that this guy, he's like, hey, that guy over there, that's the one that I was talking about yesterday when I said the Lamb of God. Remember, last week I said that the phrase Lamb of God is used exactly twice in the entire New Testament, and that was last week and this week, so the author is trying to connect those first conversations with this sending of the John the Baptist's disciples to go follow Jesus as like a nice little like literary thread. Their curiosity leads them to spend some time with Jesus at his invitation. And then one of them, Andrew, goes off to find his brother Simon, telling him that he had found the Messiah to come and see for himself. Simon follows Andrew's testimony and then comes to Jesus, where he's immediately given a new nickname, Cephas, Peter, also known as Rock. Which is kind of like you have to have a very commanding personality for the very first thing that happens when someone introduces, like, I'm Simon. Like, no, you're a rock. Like, I'm giving you a new name immediately, which is slightly different than the other Gospels that save that naming for later in their stories. Then Philip is the first to receive a personal invitation after being sought out by Jesus, which leads Philip to confidently believe and then seek out Nathanael. Now, the children's version of this story leaves out the fact that Nathanael is incredibly skeptical about Philip's claim, but then believes after an encounter with Jesus. All of them in this call story are from Bethsaida, a town around the Sea of Galilee, likely fishermen, likely overtaxed by the Roman Empire, and having to figure out how to take care of their families in order to survive. So they were no strangers to the power and presence of Roman forces, and yet they were willing to step away from the limited security of home to follow Jesus in some capacity. So we've got many paths to following Jesus in just a few verses. First, a trusted spiritual leader sends you towards Jesus. Then believing because of someone else's testimony. Their experience is enough for you to believe and go experience it yourself. Or immediately responding to a personal invitation from Jesus. And then my favorite, skeptically and cautiously following a friend. It's like, you know, you're going, you seem pretty hype about this, I'll at least check it out. And Jesus guarantees all of them that they will see great things when they come and see. So Jesus extends the same invitation to come and see to us. And our covenant service today helps us set our intention for 2026 and decide how we would like to follow Jesus this year. Just as the disciples all came with various levels of faith and backgrounds, we each enter into 2026 from a diversity of experiences that have shaped us so far. Thus, there is no one-size-fits-all approach to spiritual practices, disciplines, and commitments. Which is why I wanted to give us the time today to jot down our own personal covenants for the new year. You might be familiar with the word covenant. It shows up frequently in the Old Testament and even like throughout New Testament stories. The idea of just entering into an agreement, a relational agreement of like what your side is, what their side is. Marriage covenants are probably the most prominently aware of covenant of our society. And I wanted to use the lens of membership within the UMC as just like a framework. So even if you're not a member of Arnolia or the United Methodist Church, that's fine. You might find that these five categories will be helpful for you in discerning for the year. Because in the UMC, we vow to faithfully participate in the church's ministries by our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And you might have already found inside of the bulletin a little half sheet that you can totally use or not use. And we usually have like the little pew pencils at least too. And so if you want to like use a hymnal to be your solid backing, you're welcome to do that. But just a little half sheet for you to discern how you will faithfully participate in the ministry. So I wrote it for people that typically come here, ministry of Arnolia and the work of God with your, and then you can decide. You can also decide, like, you know, these are things that it's just more like I'm going to be working with God on these things and Arnolia can keep out of it, or I'm going to be working with God through Arnolia in these ways. Whatever works for you. And I'm just going to guide us a little bit, because my hope is that we can commit to embodying these five things in some capacity throughout 2025 so that we can continue to participate with God in the ongoing revelation of God's kingdom here on earth and in Parkville. So first, what would you like your prayer life to look like this year? This kind of also is like setting intentions. It almost sounds like New Year's resolutions, but the reality is the grace of God comes with this, and so when you don't pull it off, it's fine. It's more, how do you want to engage with encountering Jesus this year in your prayers? Are you like, you know what, maybe it's time for me to just be intentional for a couple minutes every day? Or maybe you need to have a set time each week where you just kind of really sit and center yourself. Or are you more in a season where you're moving around a lot and you're thinking quarterly feels better? Maybe you'd like to be engaged with prayer as a part of a prayer team, or you want to be more intentional about how you engage with prayer through worship, or maybe there's just new practices that you would like to discover. Whatever feels right. For those that have been around the past 5 weeks, I tried to spotlight one of each of these in the weekly email, and so those that have been reading the emails kind of got extra time to think about things, but in the same sense, you don't have to sign this today. It's just a framework to help you start the new year in a way that feels right for you and your connection with God. The second part is presence. How do you want to be present with the people of God? Is it gathering for worship? Discipleship, fellowship, joining in a small group of some sort. And those small groups can easily be like working with doing stuff with worship, doing one of the many music ministries here, helping out at the thrift store. If you want to see what fellowship and servitude looks like, hang out at the thrift store. Or maybe you want to join the missions group in order to hang out and decide, like, how do we want to intentionally choose which missional partners to work with in which season? Or it could be the pastor study at noon, which, you know, some people have work, or the Bible study in the evening on Tuesdays. Or maybe none of those things, and you're excited and want to start a new group. There's a thing that you do, and you'd love to be able to do that thing with other people and also pray with people and bond with people through that. Then gifts. I like to always point out, this is where sometimes I'm not a great pastor. I like to point out that there's not a single biblical model for giving. Instead, we've got a few different models throughout the scripture. We've got essentially 3% or 3.3%, because Deuteronomy 14 says do 10%, but every 3 years. And so I say that's like 3.3% a year, because if I had to keep track of which year it was, if I was doing the 10% or not, that would be hard. Or there's the 10% tithe that we're used to hearing about in Leviticus 27. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that God just loves a joyful giver. We have throughout the New Testament the stories of people giving a little or a lot, and it's about where their heart was as they were doing so. So it's about discerning what's a good level for you and what ministries you actually want to financially support. Now, for those that are a little more Methodist or Wesleyan, John Wesley likes to say, or did say, gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Sometimes I feel like other churches that are real popular and have fancy, shiny buildings focus on the first and the last and not so much the middle. But all three are holy. And maybe, in the same thing when it comes to gifts, maybe you feel called that you want to participate because you feel like you need to learn or host a study on financial stewardship to help people gain the skills to do this well. And then service. So there's so many things that you can do around here. We've got the online form for different ministries. We've got the little single page booklet thing of just all of the different volunteer opportunities around here. And the whole purpose of the list and the form is just to make sure that we can connect you with the right person, because not everyone here knows who does what. because there's just so many moving parts. We have people that volunteer to fill the oil and the candles every other week, which is just like a nice little simple thing if you're good at not spilling oil everywhere, which is why I don't do it. And so maybe 2026 for you is just serving in the same way. You're like, I got enough on my plate. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing. Or maybe 2026 is the year when you're like, it's time for me to find the next person to take over and teach them what we do and let them do this new thing in a way that fits who they are. Or maybe you're like, I don't really know, and it's a season for you to learn your spiritual gifts. Or if you want, there's a formalized training to become a certified lay servant in the United Methodist Church. Connor's out sick today, but Connor started that training too, so there's clearly no like age boundaries as to when you can get trained as a lay servant. And then lastly, witness. Maybe that looks like just seeking new friendships, getting to know the names of your neighbors, listening to others more intently, knowing your own story, inviting people to just join us in the work that we do here at Arnolia. Or it's a season of trusting that that the Spirit will guide you to the right conversations in the right places. Or if you read the new Grapevine, I set up this fancy thingy where you can just like go to this website on your phone and then record a video on your phone about different aspects of Arnolia. You can share how you've seen our values embodied in different ways, and then we can just share that on social media so that more people know about what's going on here. Or maybe you want to intentionally be trained on how to just love your neighbors better. Lots of opportunities. So in addition to the tradition of having a covenant service towards the beginning of the year, a lot of churches this week are following after Meredith, who is probably the single most influential pastor in the Baltimore-Washington Conference, and now maybe even the Peninsula-Delaware Conference, of introducing Star Words. And now, like, Star Words feel kind of like woo-woo in a way, but the idea is that Tuesday is Epiphany, and the Magi, who were really good at reading stars, followed one star in particular for a season. And that one star led them to Jesus. And so these are just different words and phrases on stars. And I carried mine around from last year in my wallet every day, and I didn't check to make sure it is still in here this morning. So now is the true test as to whether or not it is still in here. And those are the backup ones. Well, because I had them in my wallet since last year for if I visited people and they wanted one. Not everybody wanted one. I know, right? Time is up. I think it's just on. See, the problem is that when you have ADHD and you have a wallet with many pockets, many things go in the many pockets. But I was not thrilled when I saw my word last year, which was, I don't remember the exact word, but I remember the essence was resist. And that didn't feel like a fun word at the start of a year. But it led to a lot of really good opportunities of meeting really, really cool people and leading me very jealous in this season, because two of my favorite friends that I have met in doing the work of Holy Resistance this year are taking sabbaticals this month. So I'm a little jealous of that. I've got some time before I can have one of those. But the whole point of a star word is just to give you a place to focus, to see how God is moving in your life and leading you in that year. Meredith liked to do the fruit of the Spirit. There we go. Not the spiritual gifts. And that's fun, These are a bunch of ones from the Sanctified Art people. So some of them are like education, vocation, enjoyment, freedom. So there's a lot more choices. Makes it so that we don't get repeats as much. But really, it is what it is. And so I'm going to pray over these. And I was really talking about this to buy you some time if you still wanted to write some stuff down for your own personal covenant. Because after I pray over these, we will pray together the covenant prayer. It's an adaptation of the one that John Wesley had because his language is a little older. And so it's on the insert, and then there's also going to be a slide for that. So first, let me bless the stars, which I will have on the way out for you to make life easier today. God, you are the God who put one star in particular in the sky that led these wise men to your physical presence in this world. So may these stars help us find your presence in the world that we wander through. May we encounter you in flesh in other people and be you in the flesh for other people as we follow our stars this year. Amen. And so then, the covenant prayer. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, you are mine. And I am yours, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen.